And I'm thankful. Looking forward, there's only hope for those who love Jesus. There's only hope looking forward. Amen? If we look back, there's a lot of discouragement because we're all sinners. But if we look forward through Jesus, there's only hope. There's going to be lots of challenges, difficult times are ahead. Reality is we're going to go through a great time of trouble. But folks, looking forward with Jesus, there's only hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to have a good time this morning because we're going to study from the Bible God's beautiful plan for health. So turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, because God, part of God's prophetic message at the end time is to honor Him through giving Him glory. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. This is a beautiful, beautiful call from God. Revelation 14:7. He says, "Sing with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to" who? To Him. Okay? Now, how do we give glory to God? That's a very important practical question that we want to ask. How do we give glory to God? Well, we could say, well, with the way we sing songs. Well, maybe. Or somebody says, well, maybe the way that we, you know, dress. Yes. But the Bible tells us, turn back if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because the Bible gives us some beautiful, beautiful counsel. Actually, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice what it says here in verse 31. The Bible tells us how to give glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Okay, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of" who? God. And so God, our Creator, wants us to realize that walking with Him has to do with everything in our lives. Folks, walking to God isn't just trying to look good on Sabbath. Walking with God doesn't just mean we try to look good when we're around other people. Walking with God is a lifestyle. It's our whole experience. God created us to experience an abundant life through Jesus Christ. That's the way He created us. He has a beautiful and wonderful plan. And so as we think of the end time signs, we recognize that one of the end time signs in Matthew 24 and in Luke and in Mark are there would be many diseases on the earth at the end of time. Okay? The World Health Organization has actually documented 28 new diseases in the last 20 years. So we're seeing more sickness worldwide. Now, how do you folks feel when you're sick? You enjoy it? You pray when you go to bed, "Oh, I hope I feel sick tomorrow." Is that what you do? No, we don't like to feel sick. We want to be healthy, right? And God wants us to be that way. He loves us. We're His kids. And so He wants to bless us. And as we think of it, is there a link between our physical health and our mental health? Now, I do want to make this disclaimer, folks. There's going to be millions of healthy people go to hell, okay? Being healthy doesn't save us. Being healthy doesn't save us. The only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. But God created us in this experience of salvation to have an abundant health so our minds could be clear and we could have the greatest vitality that we can have in life. You know, I'm going to be 60 here pretty soon. And it's amazing to me how God took someone who was real. I used to be sick a lot before I became a Christian. I had all kinds of health problems. I was born with a defective kidney. My mom and my dad both drank and smoked before I was conceived. And so I was born with a defective kidney. My genes are not very good. But as a young Christian, I began to study the Bible and I saw that God had a beautiful plan for us with our health. And as I began to embrace those beautiful principles through the love of God, and God began to give me a better health and more vitality. And I'm so thankful for that. In order to survive Revelation's end time, we need strong, healthy bodies and minds. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to study how God is concerned with our physical health. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel, who was one of Jesus' heroes in the Old Testament, a young man, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat and the wine which the king drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. As a young man, his heart was thrilled with loyalty to his Creator. You see, being healthy is not a burden if we experience it through the love of God. Walking, I've heard so many people in the church over the years, they make like it's a big sacrifice, you know, to follow these principles. Folks, when you love Jesus, it's a pleasure and it's a joy because God is living in us and God blesses us. And God blessed those young men because they were 10 times wiser than all the wise men of Babel. It makes you smarter. Not only helps you to feel better, it makes you smarter. So Daniel's purpose gave us the prophetic word in the book of Daniel. If we follow Daniel's example, we too will have a better understanding of God's wonderful plan. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus, when he was on this earth, went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Notice what it goes on to say, and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. Jesus spent more time healing than he did preaching. Because God's gospel is very practical because it brings freedom and joy and peace into our hearts. Very simple. John 10:10, I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you might be prospering and be in health even as your soul prospers. Health is not a matter of chance. Now, I find it fascinating. It's usually around holiday time that people get sick a lot more often. And I find it fascinating that most people tend to blame everybody else. If they get sick at Thanksgiving, they blame their uncle or their aunt or somebody in the family that it was sick. But health is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of embracing God's beautiful plan of lifestyle. Now this poor fellow, he's a little alarmed there. He's going to the doctor, maybe he hadn't been there for a while. And he realizes he's in big trouble. Okay, but God wants to bless us. God has promises of abundant health. Exodus 15, turn in your Bibles with me if you would, the second book in the Bible. Exodus 15, our Creator makes a promise here that is literally astounding if we take God at His word. And I believe that God means everything He says. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. It's on the screen, but I'd like you to see it in your Bible. Exodus 15, 26. And He, God, said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord which heals you. So here God is saying if we honor His principles of health in the Bible, we won't get the diseases of Egypt. Now somebody might be thinking, well, big deal, what's that mean? What's the diseases of Egypt? You know, we found out? Modern science has found out what the diseases in the ancient world were. Because with our modern technology, they take all of these, not all, but they've taken some of these mummies that have been mummified there for about 2,500 years, 3,000 years, and they've put them under these different x-ray things, and they've actually found out what the diseases of Egypt are. It's pretty fascinating. Heart disease, cancer, arthritis, hepatitis, tetanus, trichinosis, dental cavities, diabetes, and obesity. Does that sound familiar? Folks, those are the diseases of America today. The same diseases that the Egyptians had, that we have those diseases today. And it's fascinating that these diseases are linked to lifestyle. They're not something like typhoid fever. They're lifestyle diseases. So God promised Israel that if they would serve and obey Him, He would remove that sickness from them. Did He keep His promise? Notice what it says in Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. And so God kept His promise. He blessed them with an abundant health. Are the Bible health principles still practical today? Well, let's think of a few. Quarantine. That's from Leviticus chapter 13. Whenever there's a contagious disease, those of you who work in the medical profession, what did you learn over the last couple of years? Swine's flu or all these different H1N1. Okay, quarantine, right? Okay, we got that from the Bible. Human body waste should be buried. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 23. Washing the body in clothes controls germs. See, we take a lot of these things for granted. We got them all from the Bible. God thought these things up. Moral living prevents sexual disease. Leviticus chapter 17. No brainer there. Animal fat should not be eaten. Leviticus 3:17. That's what they're crying out. The modern medical world is crying out. The cancer society is telling us those things. Hatred and bitterness is detrimental to one's health. They've actually found secular medicine today is even promoting the principles of the Bible, even if they don't believe in God, because they can't deny it. Folks, a contented spirit, a happy spirit, promotes general overall health. Overeating is harmful. I guess we should have figured that one out, right? Proverbs chapter 23. Those guys look like they're enjoying fellowship meal, right? Okay, overeating is harmful. Our bodies need proper rest. Psalm 127, that's what the Sabbath is about, right? Giving us some good rest. The importance of work. By the way, a lot of people break the fourth commandment, not because they don't rest on Sabbath, but they don't work 6 days. Exercise is really important for our overall health. It's very simple. A positive attitude is good medicine. Parents' habits affect their children. And most of you parents probably know this already, but our kids learn almost everything they learn from us, not from what we say, but by the way we live. It's pretty simple, right? Now, 1 Corinthians, I love this because this, I believe, is the heart of this issue. This is very beautiful. It's on the screen, but I invite you to turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and notice what it says in verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. Okay, the Bible, God's Word, 1 Corinthians 6:19. And so God asked the question, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? God created us to be a dwelling place for Him. Folks, we're no trash, okay? We didn't come from no monkey. God, our Creator, the one who created the universe, He created us in His own image, and He created us so special, and our bodies are so sacred, He created us to be His temple, that He would live in us. That is so beautiful. But notice verse 20, because I love verse 20. It is so powerful, because here's the motivation to honor our body as God's temple. Verse 20, He says here, for you are bought with a, what does the Bible say? A price. Folks, that price was an agony that we'll never fully comprehend. The sufferings of Jesus are beyond human comprehension because His great suffering was not the physical pain, as terrible as that was. His great suffering was the anguish of experiencing total, complete abandonment from His Father. They had always been together from eternity past, but when He became sin for us, He experienced that incredible, total, complete abandonment of God, the eternal death, the wages of sin. Jesus experienced that wages of sin, eternal death for us. And so we're bought with a price. And by the way, you may not think you're valuable. You know, some of us grew up in abusive homes. And if you've been put down, especially as a child, over and over and over again, that you're no good, you may not feel you're valuable. But God values you so much, He bought and paid for you, and He knew what He was getting. He knew our feebleness. He knew our weakness. But He bought and paid for us at the cross because He believes we're valuable. And if God thinks we're valuable, who do we to argue with God? Amen? That's right. I used to argue with God. I used to actually pray as a young Christian, God, don't waste your time with me anymore. I'm never going to get it because I was so messed up. And if you're going through a struggle in your life, don't beat yourself up. The devil will try to beat you up, but don't listen to him. Other people will put you down, but don't listen. Go to Jesus. He loves you. You're valuable to Him because He bought you with His eyes wide open. You're already bought and paid for. Praise the Lord. And so that's the heart of this. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're valuable to God. We're precious to God. And so He has given us the privilege of glorifying God in our bodies. That's how we do it there. Now, I'm going to give you a few quotations here because there's a number of churches in the Christian world that actually believe in the Bible health principles. And the Adventist Church is one of them. And the Saturday Evening Post wrote an article on them some years ago. They said, Seventh-day Adventists are the healthiest group of people in the country. Adventists have supplied the world with some rather impressive medical statistics. And then it goes on to say how many years longer that they would live, and how much less disease that we would have. Some of you remember Paul Harvey. He's passed away now a couple years ago. I think he must have had a family member or somebody who was an Adventist because he used to keep talking about it. But he said, judging from the records, some of the Adventists have a life expectancy 5 to 6 years greater than other Californians. 75% fewer Adventists die from all types of cancer. 68 fewer from respiratory diseases. 88% fewer from TB and 85% fewer from pulmonary emphysema. Perhaps as a byproduct of abstinence from alcohol, Adventists have only about a third as many accidents. National Geographic did a series on longevity, the secrets of living longer. They covered three different groups of people worldwide, and the Adventists were one of those groups. That was in November 2005. And it says Adventists also observe Sabbath and Saturday, socializing with each other, church members, and enjoying a sanctuary in time that helps relieve stress. So what is a good Bible rule for healthy living? We read it already. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Because He made us to be His temple. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now I want us to understand here, folks. God does not condemn anyone because they don't follow everything in the Bible. But God has given us those beautiful principles in love to try and show us a better way. Praise the Lord. God in His mercy has given us that blessing. Now, you know, there are some doctors, during this seminar, somebody gave me a letter. And in that letter, they were really lambasting the doctors and all the drug medications and all those kind of things. But folks, there are some doctors who know God's beautiful principle and have a better way. And this guy's name, this is Dr. Walden, he would have his patients come in, and they would come in and he would give them some counsel that they could follow God's principles. And most of them said, "Doctor, I don't want to change, just give me a pill." And so this doctor, he really loved his patients. He really did. He wasn't in it just for the money. He really loved his patients. And so he came up with a brilliant idea. He figured he'd write a little booklet, and in the booklet, he left it out there in his doctor's office. You know how in the doctor's office, you have to wait a long time? I've often thought about doctors, what it's like when they go to the get their car fixed and they have to wait a few hours. When you go to a doctor's office, you have to wait. And so he put this this booklet there. And so this is what the title on the front page of this booklet: How to Die Younger and How to Help Your Family Collect Your Life Insurance Policy Earlier. How'd you like to have a doctor who had that kind of a booklet, huh? So that's right there. And some of his patients actually picked it up and read it. So anyway, inside, remember when he said, if you want to die younger and have your family collect your life insurance earlier, he said, smoke cigarettes heavily and smoke for many, many years. This is really a fascinating thing. What does the Bible say about smoking? Turn back, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 29. And let's notice here, because God in Deuteronomy 29 has some beautiful counsel here. By the way, God loves everybody on planet Earth. He loves every single person just as much as He loves anybody else. God doesn't love religious people more than He loves people who don't go to church. We're all God's kids. His love is unconditional. And so we want to understand this. God is showing us a better way so we could have an abundant health. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 17. Deuteronomy 29, 17. And you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man, woman, or family, tribe, whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God, and to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. Now, here God is saying that part of the idols of His people was gall and wormwood. Now, you look those words up in the Hebrew, and they actually mean poisonful herbs, or things that grow that are poisonful. Okay? And then He goes on to say and encourages people to turn away from. Now, is nicotine, which is only one of the many poisons in tobacco, is nicotine a poisonful herb, yes or no? Absolutely, it is. Now, God loves smoking. My mother smoked. My father smoked. I mean, you know, I grew up in a home. This is back in the 50s. Back then, the modern medical world didn't really talk a lot about smoking. But I breathed. You know, my mom and dad would smoke at home. And I breathed as a little kid, year after year, all this stuff. And my lungs are scarred to this day. I went a number of years ago and had a physical. And the doctor thought I had asthma. I don't have asthma. But he thought I had asthma because the way my lungs were. I breathed that secondhand smoke. But God wants us to know that He has a better way. He doesn't look down on smokers. Praise the Lord. Amen? He loved smokers. He loved my mom and dad. And when my mom became a Christian, she experienced God's wonderful victory. Now, here is from back in the 50s. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Isn't that interesting? Boy, they wouldn't let them get away with that today. No way. Secondhand smoke is harmful, more disease, higher risk of sudden infant death syndrome. It's all over, you know, everybody's saying it today. Now I want to show you something here. This is really funny. My wife is from England, and so we have gone over there a number of times to visit with her family. The European people, I've found, are a lot more direct than American people. We get offended pretty easily over here, you know, if you say, you know, direct things. But over there, that's just the way the lifestyle is. Well, anyway, one day she picked up this cigarette packet on the side of the road, and big, bold letters, smoking kills. I mean, you know, it's pretty clear there. And here's another one here. Cigarette smoking contributes to heart disease, strokes, cancer, emphysema, premature births, poor circulation, shortness of breath. Every cigarette you smoke takes 14 and a half seconds. Here's the arteries. Tobacco is the second most costly drug addiction in North America. Here's another one. Tobacco products kill more than 400,000 people each year. That's in America. Now I want to ask you a question. Why aren't our politicians up in arms about this? You know, they make a big deal about the young people that are getting killed in war, and they should. Every person's precious. But why is it that our politicians are not making an issue about this? Why is it most religious leaders today are not teaching people this beautiful subject? Why is it? Well, I'll leave that to your thinking. But God wants us to know there's good news when God delivers us from tobacco. Our lungs improve, irritation stops, inflammation stops, congestion stops, dripping mucus stops, shortness of breath stops. Dying for a smoke, right? The sixth commandment says that thou shalt not murder. And that is a promise that God gives to us that we wouldn't even murder ourselves. Here's a smoker's lung. And I'll tell you, young people, sooner or later, somebody is going to tempt you to go ahead and smoke a cigarette. They may make fun of you and say, oh, you're a sissy, you won't smoke that cigarette. I want to plead with you, young people, never start down that road. Never. It doesn't matter if people make fun of you. They don't know. God loves you. You're precious to them. And He wants to protect you from having your body defiled and broken down. Now, this is where I want to share something really important. You see, in churches today, too many times people get the wrong idea. Too many times people say, well, I'm going to quit doing that bad thing. And they say, I'm going to quit doing that bad thing. Okay? And so they have a habit, let's say it's smoking, and they say, I'm going to quit doing that bad thing. So they say all week long, I'm going to cut down. And so during the week, they cut down. They go from two packs to a pack and a half. And they're going down and they're cutting down a little bit, but they're struggling. What do they have after a week? They still got a bit of it, right? And so they say, man, this week, I'm going to cut down even more. I'm going to try to get down to a pack a day. And so they cut down a little bit more. And after another week, what do they got? They got bit, right? And so they say, man, this week, I'm going to even cut down more. And folks, during the time, they're yelling at their wives or their husbands, and they're all stressed out and they're all upset. And what do? After they have, man, they still got it, right? That's a lousy way to get victory. Folks, the Bible gives us the good news that God has already won the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Who gives us a victory. Now I want to illustrate that, how that works. Can I just have a young person come up here just for a moment, please? Can I have a volunteer, just one young person? No young people? Okay, here we go. Thank you very much. Here you go. There you go. Yep, you can take it. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. Okay. I always ask young people because adults won't do it. Now, some of you didn't see, but those of you can see, what did I just do to this precious young lady? What did I do? I gave her a $5 bill. Okay, that's not because I'm a good person. By the way, that's your $5 bill, isn't it? I gave it to you. Now, did she do anything to earn that $5 bill? Not at all. Did she work hard for it? Did she grit her teeth and struggle for it? No way. What did she do? She just took it. You know, when Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, He took on our nature in its weakened condition, right? And when He was in the wilderness of temptation, and the devil tempted Him to make those rocks and the stones after 40 days without food, man, Jesus was craving food more than any drug addict, more than any alcoholic, more than any other addiction. He was craving food. But what did Jesus do? He depended on His Father. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus won the victory. Praise the Lord. So God is wanting to give us the victory. And I'll tell you what. When you receive the victory from Jesus Christ, miracles take place in your life. I want to tell you a couple quick stories here. I already primed the young people. We're going to have a long sermon, so they already know this. But anyway, we worked with people for a long time. We've been all over the world. When we were in Romania about 12 years ago, we were working and doing evangelistic meetings all over the country. And there were a bunch of gypsies coming in. In Romania, gypsies aren't very well liked by the regular population. Well, this gypsy family, they fell in love with Jesus. And they were so excited. And one of the guys, his man, he says, when we covered this subject, he says, I got a problem. He says, I smoke. I said, no problem. I said, Jesus already won the victory. He says, I can't do it. I know you can't. God doesn't expect you to. He wants you to take His victory, and then God is going to work that victory in you. He says, okay, I want to do it. So we had a special anointing service. We anointed him with oil. His family was all there. In the gypsy culture, the whole family does stuff together. So that house was packed. I mean, it's packed. There was probably 40 people in that house. And we're having this special prayer. This guy just received Jesus, and he's receiving the victory. Guess how much he smoked? He smoked 5 to 6 packs a day. 5 to 6 packs a day. For those of you who don't know, that's 100 to 120 cigarettes a day. He used to wake up in the middle of the night, he said, and smoke a whole pack of cigarettes, one after another. His nicotine level in his blood was so high. Man, he was an addict. But we prayed for him. And he received the victory by faith. Folks, we saw him 6 months later. He looked, this is not an exaggeration, he looked 10 years younger. He had not smoked one cigarette after that time because he experienced the victory that comes from Jesus. Folks, Jesus already won the victory and he wants us to receive it by faith and walk in that victory. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you one other story. This is a little funny too. I'm usually not at a loss for words, but I'll tell you what happened. There was a couple, they were coming to our meetings and they fell in love with Jesus and they received Jesus into their heart. And they had the same problem and they both smoke a lot. And they said, man, we can't do it. I said, God knows that. That's why Jesus became human. He won the victory for us. And they said, we want that victory. So we had a special anointing service. We anointed them with oil, just like it says in James chapter 5. And they received the victory. So what I do, I buy the cigarettes off of people when they want to experience God's victory, because I want to give them a little extra spending money so they can buy some juice or whatever, flush the toxins out of their system. And so I said, you know, I'll buy you guys cigarettes. So the lady goes in her bedroom and she comes out with a huge grocery bag. In the grocery bag, she had 11, not packs of cigarettes, she had 11 cartons of cigarettes. You know how many cigarettes that is? I don't know. I don't know how to count that high. But there was a lot of them. And you know, for one of the few times in my life, I started stuttering. I didn't know what to say because I didn't have enough money to buy all the cigarettes. 11 cartons? Man, that's a lot of money. And so, yeah, I started stuttering. It took me about 2 minutes before I could finally get it out. And I said, man, I'm sorry. I don't have enough money to buy all the cigarettes. She said, I don't care. Get rid of them for me. And I'll tell you what, folks, I've seen those people a number of times after that, and their faces are beaming. They're just filled with the love of God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if there's anybody here, whatever I go through today, if you have a desire to receive God's victory, I got a little paper I want to give you. It's called God's 5-Minute Plan. God does not want you and I trying to get victory because it's a waste of time. Or if we do, then we'll become proud and look down on other people. God's victory is supernatural. God Himself works in us. And we're very kind and loving and accepting of other people. It's very beautiful the way God works. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, in Dr. Wallen's book, if you want to die younger so your family can collect your life insurance, on page 2, he had this. He said, drink alcoholic beverages even in moderation. What does the Bible teach about this subject? Now, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the Old Testament, and it's the book of Proverbs. You know, the Bible has some beautiful, beautiful counsels in it to guide and direct us. And in Proverbs chapter 20... verse 1, God tells us something about alcohol. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Okay, this is God's word. Proverbs 21, He says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, I know this from personal experience. I grew up in a home, folks, where alcohol ruled. It was a home, I tell you, it was like a zoo in our home. Bitterness, hatred, arguing, cursing, swearing. It was a mess. But you know what the sad thing is? Without God's grace in my life, I followed in my father's footsteps. And I'm ashamed to say that, but I became addicted to this substance, alcohol. I know what it is. And I'll tell you what, so much pain, so much heartache, so much hurt. Look at chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verse 29. Notice what the Bible says here. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go and seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. God is wanting to set us free from this curse that destroys homes, destroys peace, destroys harmony, and destroys families and societies. And I tell you what, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Folks, alcohol is deceptive. It kills over 100,000 Americans every single year. Costs $120 billion in economic damages. You think of it. People blame God for the hunger in the world. There's no need of hunger. We spend more on addictive substances and on weapons in the world. We could feed the world 2-3 times over because of that. Leading killer among young people, ages 16 to 24, 40% of everyone who uses alcohol develops serious drinking problems. 35% of all hospital beds in America contain people because of alcohol-related problems. And so God says, when it is in that condition, when it's fermented, He says, leave it alone. But I want to show you some good wine God wants us to drink. Turn with me to Isaiah now, because the Bible actually counsels us to drink wine. Not the alcoholic kind, but the good stuff. Okay, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. Okay, here we are in the Bible, the Old Testament, Isaiah 65 and verse 8. Isaiah 65, 8. Here it is. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. So God actually counsels us in the Bible to drink wine. But what kind of wine? New wine is found in a cluster. That's 100% Welch's. Okay? Now, they didn't have Welch's back in the Bible times, but that's what it means. 100% Welch's, no alcohol. Can I have another young person come up here just a minute, please? I figured I'd get a little faster reaction this time. Now, I want to give you a bottle of wine, okay? This is for you. And you can enjoy that wine. I hope you share it with some of your friends. I want to give you a bottle of wine. What did the Bible say? God said to drink wine, right? What kind of wine? The new wine. 100% no alcohol. Amen? Now, some of you, if you get a little bit nervous, just check out the bottle on the way out. If you think I'm trying to get young people in trouble here. Okay? God wants us to drink the good stuff. Amen? And by the way, young people, you can drink all that 100% wine that you want. It won't make you act like a fool or look like a fool or any of those other things. It'll be a blessing for you. Praise the Lord. And so God is wonderful. But here's why there's a little mix-up in the Christian world. Because the Bible does not differentiate in the words it uses for wine. The Bible uses the word wine to refer to two distinctly different grape beverages, one unfermented and the other fermented. Okay? So when the Bible uses, here's the words. Right here. The Hebrew word yayin and the Old Testament Greek word oinos in the New Testament can mean either one. You've got to take it in context. So if God clearly, over and over and over and over again in the Bible, tells us to leave aside fermented wine, whenever the Bible says don't drink this stuff, it's obviously the bad stuff. But when the Bible tells us to drink wine, it's telling us to drink the good stuff, amen? The pure 100%, because it's good for you and it is a blessing. We just read it there, Isaiah 65, verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake. And then Jesus said in Matthew 26, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. Folks, Jesus was not drinking fermented wine there with his disciples. He calls it the fruit of the vine, which is the unfermented stuff, the good stuff. He says He's not going to drink it until He drinks it with us when Jesus comes again. And so Satan has a counterfeit. Satan says, hey, you go ahead and use these substances, you'll find happiness. But folks, that Satan is a liar. God has a plan, and it is beautiful and wonderful. And so we thank God for that. And God in the Old Testament called the priests, especially not to touch the stuff. And we're all priests, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, at this time in the New Testament times. He says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So each one of you, if you're a believer in Jesus, is a priest. And God wants to empower you to drink the good stuff and not the bad stuff that is fermented. No temptation has taken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will make a way of escape. Now I'll tell you what, folks. I was an alcoholic, and I could not drink responsibly, okay? Because there is no such thing. The only responsible drinking is to drink unfermented juice of the grape. But I could not save myself. My genes, on most sides of my father's side, my mother's side, alcoholism, drug addiction, every addiction under the sun. But Jesus has won the victory, praise the Lord. And He gives us His victory, not only that we don't touch this stuff, but we don't want it anymore. I've talked to a lot of people who said, man alive, I wish I could do that, I wish I could do that. Folks, when Jesus gives you victory, He rips out even the desire from our heart, and we rejoice in the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives the victory. It's not a sacrifice, folks, to be sober. It is a joy and a pleasure when the Holy Spirit's living in your heart. It's God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, I want to ask you a question. Should Christians be addicted to drugs? What do you think? Some of you are a little unsure. Now, I'm going to show you the drug of choice for about 95% of all Christians. Okay, I'm going to show you their drug of choice. Some of you don't want to see it. You want me to cut this short in righteousness? What about caffeine? All right. Man, I tell you, I used to be a caffeine addict myself. I used to drink about a half a gallon of Moxie every day. Anybody ever heard of Moxie? It's kind of a New England drink. But they use it to put on battery terminals to get rid of the all the acid there. But it's a caffeinated beverage. And it's rough stuff. A lot of people don't like it, but I used to drink a lot of it. What's in that cup of coffee? Is caffeine suffering from a lot of bad press? No, unfortunately, caffeine isn't the wonder substance we coffee lovers claim it to be. Once within your nervous system, caffeine begins to cause this damage. Even in small quantities, caffeine causes a rapid increase of blood pressure, fats, and cholesterol. Taken in large amounts, the effect increases dramatically. Excessive intake, 5 or more cups, it attacks the kidneys and the livers. Causes, it's highly addictive, causes irritability, headaches, tumors, insomnia, depression, diabetes, hypoglycemia, heartburn, nervousness, alters brain neurotransmitters. Go ahead. Enjoy your coffee in the morning. Now, you might be thinking, Rick, I can't live without my caffeine. It's impossible. I'll tell you what, I used to think that. I used to work on construction. And I used to take 2 bundles of shingles at a time, up and down ladders, you know, I'd be running all over the place. But as a young Christian, I didn't understand God's beautiful way. And as I was learning and growing, God showed me this. Because, folks, these beautiful principles are progressive, okay? We don't get everything in all at once. It's progressive. And so, as I saw this beautiful plan to deliver me, I said, man, how in the world am I going to have energy, right? So I was really cranky the first couple of days after I didn't have my caffeine. But after a week, I couldn't believe it. I was a lot calmer. Some people think I'm, you know, kind of excitable. You should have known me back in those days. I was a lot calmer, and I didn't get upset as much. It blew me away. And all of a sudden, after a couple of weeks, I had more energy than I had ever had before on the stuff. Folks, God loves us, and He wants to deliver us so we can have an abundant life. See, remember, God doesn't condemn us. God doesn't condemn us. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn us. Amen? Praise the Lord. He came in to give us an abundant life. He comes in. He feels for us when we're struggling. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't look down on us. His heart goes out. We're His kids. And He wants us to have that abundant life. And so God wants to bless us. And again, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus. Now, We've studied this principle here, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever we eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, we've covered some very exciting things so far, but I got one more place to go. You think you can handle one more? Some of you aren't so sure. Okay, we're going to go to the refrigerator now, okay? So let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. Because God wants us, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. First book, first chapter, verse 29. Notice what the Bible says. Genesis 1, 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you that shall be for meat or for food. So in the beginning, before sin, God gave them fruits, grains, and nuts to eat. They were health nuts. He gave them fruits, grains, and nuts to eat. And how long were they going to live on that diet? Forever! Fruits, grains, and nuts, right? Pretty good diet. God gave it to them. And folks, I'll tell you what, they thrived on that diet. But something happened after sin. Turn over to chapter 3, if you would. Genesis chapter 3. And let's notice what the Bible says here in verse 18. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 18. After sin, God added something to their diet. Here it is, Genesis 3:18. He says, thorns and thistles shall bear forth to you, and you shall eat the, what does the Bible say? The herb of the field. Okay? So the herb of the field is the vegetables. You know, modern science in the last 30, 40 years has just finally figured out that it's the vegetables that have the enzymes that fight cancer. Isn't that amazing? God knew that back 6,000 years ago. So after sin, He says, man, you start eating vegetables now. It's been a little hard for me. I'm not so great on vegetables, but I'm learning to eat it. When I eat broccoli, folks, I love broccoli as long as it's got a lot of garlic in it. You know, sometimes people worry about garlic breath. Never bothered me. And I don't know this for a fact, but I don't believe there's ever been anybody who got offended because they had garlic breath. I love garlic. Anybody else here love garlic? Man, I can eat anything with garlic. It's kind of hard without it, but I love garlic. But anyway, God added the vegetables. So fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. And the people lived on that diet. It was a vegetarian diet. They lived on that diet for over 900 years, even after sin. Must have been a pretty good diet, right? You know, it's amazing. People are making millions of dollars. Millions of dollars capitalizing on what God says here. And they're making all these special health food stores and in these grocery stores. And New Agers are going. And atheists are going. And all kinds of people are going there. And yet most people go to church. They don't want to hear about it. But God has given us this beautiful plan. Now remember, God loves us. And reform is progressive. It's a step-by-step experience. But I want to show you, God permitted the people, after the flood, to begin to eat flesh foods. He did. He gave them permission. Genesis chapter 7 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come, you and all your house into the ark, for you I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast you shall take to you by sevens, the male and his female. The beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. So the unclean were by two. So if Noah ate one of the unclean animals, would they be any of those, that particular brand on planet Earth today? No, because you've got to have a male and a female to have offspring, right? Now, I want to say this, folks. Everything I'm sharing with you here today is from God's Word, okay? And I want to say this. Being a vegetarian does not save people, okay? I've met a lot of miserable vegetarians. And no one should be pressured to be a vegetarian because God does not work that way. God in the Bible has permitted us to eat certain flesh foods. Okay, I've been a vegetarian for many, many decades now, and I'm very grateful. It's been a great blessing for my health. But God never wants us to try to put that on someone else or do it for the wrong reasons. Everything we do, we want to do it to glorify God and because we love Jesus, not because somebody tells us we have to or we're going to go to hell if we don't go along with what they say. No church, folks, should ever require people to be a member to be a vegetarian. That is not anywhere found in the Word of God. And so God wants to know. I believe it's the best lifestyle. I believe it's the best way to live. But God gives us freedom to grow as we walk with the Lord. Amen? Just wanted to share that. So God told Noah to take clean and unclean and a lot more clean into the ark. Okay? So God instructed Noah to bring both clean and unclean into the ark. So turn with me now if you would. This is a long time before the Jewish people. But turn to Leviticus if you would. In Leviticus chapter 11, and let's notice what it says. Leviticus chapter 11, and God tells us the clean and the unclean. He tells us which one we can eat. That's pre-Jewish, long before ever there was any Jewish people on planet Earth. Here it is, Leviticus chapter 11. And let's notice what it says. Leviticus 11 and verse 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And all you young people, you know I'm going to keep my promise, because I told you I was going to preach a long sermon. But I'm getting close. I'm almost done. Hang on. We're almost finished, okay? Leviticus chapter 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all beasts that are on the earth. Okay? Whatsoever parts the hoof and is cloven footed, and choose the cut among the beasts that you may eat. Verse 4. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat, of them that chew the cut, or them that divide not the hoof, as the camel, because he chews the cut, but does not divide the hoof, he is unclean unto you. So ladies, no camel sandwiches for your husbands, okay? Just want you to know. God says, camel, unclean, don't go there. I don't think they sell camel in the stores around here, but they do in some places in the world. Now, let's move on. Verse 5. And the coney, that's a rock badger, because he chews the cud, but does not divide the hoof, he is unclean unto you. I don't think anybody here eats rock badgers. Verse 6. And the hare, or the rabbit, because he chews the cud, but does not divide the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And verse 7. And the, what is it? Swine, or the pig. Though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he chews not the cud, he is unclean unto you. Now, what is wrong with little Miss Piggy? Because we raise pigs, I've been told, in very clinical environments today. We feed them all these, you know, these foods that we package up, loaded with all kinds of stuff, right? So what is wrong with little Miss Piggy? I want you to think about this here. God foresaw sin. God did not create sin, but He foresaw it. And He made certain creatures that would keep the earth clean. Okay? Cows are clean. You know, deer is clean. Moose is clean. There's a lot of clean animals. But let's check out these slices of ham under a microscope. Dr. McNaught found that one out of every four pork specimens had living trichina larvae in it. Okay? That's why they tell you to cook that pork real good. That way you get to eat dead worms instead of living worms, right? Oh boy. Wow. And so trichinosis is a huge problem in our world today. Still this time. You can raise hogs in warehouses, but it doesn't take away the trichinosis. And folks, once those trichina worms get in your system, they begin to burrow in and the body can only encapsulate them. And they begin to cause trouble. Symptoms are, you know, painful joints. Symptoms are all kinds of different diseases. People think they have different diseases, but sometimes it can be trichinosis. Mad pig disease, here it is. Pork is loaded with saturated fats and cholesterol. Cancer in the pig skin, kidneys and lymphatic system and other internal organs is common. Pork products are regularly preserved with nitrates. Pork contributes to numerous digestive and stomach problems. Tell you what, folks, it is rough stuff. I want to tell you a true story. A friend of mine is an evangelist. And when he was a kid, before he was a Christian, he lived out in the West. And they raised Iowa hogs. He was from Colorado. And Iowa hogs are huge, man. They're like little ponies. They're huge, okay, these big old hogs. And so one day, him and his friend were on their way to school. And they spotted a rattlesnake. And they used to kill rattlesnakes out there because they could skin them and sell their meat to restaurants and sell their hides and make a little extra money. So they spotted this rattlesnake. And so one of them said, listen, you watch the rattler and I'll go get a stick to pin its head down. So one of them was watching there and the other one took off. And while the young fellow was watching the rattlesnake, it took off in the hog pen. And as that rattler went into the hog pen, that one of those big old Iowa hogs, man, he grabbed that rattler and he chomped that thing. He just chomped it down alive. But before that snake died, that rattlesnake bit that hog all over his face, over his snout, over his eyes. Man, he just was striking that snake, that hog. And so my friend Leo was certain it was going to die. So his friend comes back. He says, man, bad news. We lost a rattlesnake. That hog got it. And so they sat there and they said, we're going to watch that hog die. And so they sat there for 10 minutes. And the hog laid down. They said, man, it's dead. They threw a rock. That thing jumped up, squealed, snorted, and ran around for a little while. And then it laid down again. This went on for 2 hours. And after 2 hours, they figured it out. That old hog wasn't going to die. There was more poison in the hog than there was in the rattlesnake. And that's the truth, folks. God in His mercy wants to protect us from all the heart attacks and all the high blood pressure and all the sickness there is. God loves us. We're His kids. So He wants to protect us. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is good. Okay, so let's go on now in verse 9. Here it is. We're in verse 9. This old fellow here. Okay, I want to skip through here. Something. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who love Him. What about the fat in the meat and the blood? Folks, the cancer society, everybody in the medical field is screaming out, men, leave the fat out. If you're going to eat clean flesh food, leave it out. Leave the alcohol alone. Here's Associated Press. People should not eat any red meat. Okay, so we're back with what's in the water here, verse 9. These shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters and the seas and in the rivers, them shall you eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the rivers and all that move in the waters and anything that which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. So God said, if you want to eat flesh, anything that's in water, if it has what? Two things, fins and scales, right? If it doesn't have fins and scales, God said it's what? Unclean. Now, when you get a fish tank, what do you always get to go in that fish tank? You get that, I don't know what the name of it is, but you get that special kind of fish that eats up all the poop, right? It goes along the bottom and eats all the poop up. You know, that's what catfish are. They eat all the poop up on the bottom. And, you know, God, if it wasn't for these certain things in the waters that eat up all the poisons, then everything in the water would be destroyed today. Okay? And so this does away with some of the seafood lovers' favorites. Clams, oysters, shrimp, lobster. These are filter feeders because they eat all the poison up. You know, down there in Panama, Florida, they have a very, very special tradition down there. They crack open a live oyster and then they sprinkle Tabasco sauce all over it, okay? And that oyster's wiggling there still alive, and the hot Tabasco sauce, and people eat them up. They go, you know, they eat that stuff down. Hot snot on a shell. Isn't that amazing? Man, I'll tell you what, folks, it's amazing what people will eat today. And it's not that God looks down on us, but those filter feeders are loaded with poisons. They've actually found that some AIDS people have developed AIDS, that they have AIDS because of infected shellfish that take in the poison. You know, down there in, New Orleans, they have two huge sewer pipes that go out into the bay there. Huge! And they're taking all this stuff out there. It's coming out. And the shrimps, man, they're down there when it's shrimp season. The shrimp boaters, they shoot at each other because they're all trying to jockey and get the best place to get those nice juicy shrimps. And they're feeding on all that stuff. Oh, I tell you, God loves us and He wants us to have an abundant life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for God's Word. It's so beautiful. And so if a person decides to eat flesh, God says, listen, some of those flesh foods are really bad. Leave them alone. You can eat the other ones. And I'm not saying it's the healthiest day. There's a lot of disease. And I'm thankful for the privilege of being a vegetarian. But folks, that's a personal choice. We should never, ever put anyone down for not being a vegetarian. And so there it is. It's all there in the Bible. And as far as the birds, you know, chicken is clean and turkey is clean and pheasant and grouse and things like that. And God loves us and He wants to bless us. So as we close here, we see it's all in the news. Unclean. Shellfish are dirty and dangerous. Prevention magazine. Wow. As we close today, I don't know where you're at in your life, but you know God loves you. That's good news, isn't it? Wherever you're at, God loves you. But God today wants you to know how precious you are. That your body is His temple. That you were created by God. You're not an accident. You were created by God to be a special place where He would live. And today, all God is asking you to do is to offer yourself completely to be His temple. Because I tell you, when God comes into His temple, God begins to supernaturally change us on the inside. God begins to work miraculously to give us a love for what is good and a hatred for what is harmful. And God will lead us along step by step. Thank the Lord. Amen? Step by step, He'll lead us as we walk with Him. And so as we close today, I want to invite you, it's your choice, but to offer yourself to God and say, Lord, take all of my life. Take all of my life and come and live in me, and you lead me in this beautiful way that you have showed me in your word. I just invite you to, if you would make that decision, just invite you right now just to kneel where you are. If you can't kneel, kneel in your heart, but close your eyes. Close your eyes. This isn't for anybody else. But if you would say, Jesus, take all of my heart. I'm excited that my body is your temple and I want you to live in me. I can't do it myself. I want you to live in me. I just invite you to kneel. If you can't kneel, just kneel in your heart. God knows. God knows. Father in heaven, today we want to thank you that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that none of us are unvaluable to you. That each of us is precious to you. None of us are better than anybody else. We're your kids. And so today, Lord, we surrender. And we say, Jesus, I choose for you to live in me. Maybe you've been convicted on something today. You say, Lord, I can't get the victory myself. But Lord, I want to accept the victory just like this young lady has taken that $5 bill. That I would take that victory. You would take that victory from Jesus and experience His life-changing power and His freedom from being controlled by substance, and to experience the joy and the peace of being a temple filled with Your Spirit. Bless each one, I pray today. Keep each one of us safe. And Lord, I pray You'll bring us back tonight as we continue to study Your Holy Word. I thank You and I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.